That sounded way worse than I meant it. Or is that just in my head?
No, it was bad.
Tonight on the Ritual Misery podcast, I got stoned. I'm going to tell you about it.
The fiscal year is ending, and that always sucks.
Yeah. Anno 1800, I've been playing it.
We're going to talk about some dead things.
Dead things? And we have Jenny!
Yay, Jenny!
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 228 for Thursday, the 19th of September, 2019. This is the show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent, but we're not important because tonight we have Jenny Josephson on the show with us tonight.
Hey, Jenny, how you been?
I don't know why I'm silently cheering. I'm like entranced with watching myself 10 seconds later on the Twitch.
Oh, M Beam, thank you for the subscription and thank you for coming out. It's been a while since we've had you in the show for a while, so we really appreciate you coming back.
It's my pleasure. This show is the most fun now that I don't have Let's Talk About Thrones.
Well, that has unfortunately come to an end for now.
Are you guys going to bring it back when the new show comes out?
So the official story on that is that we are waiting to see how hyped up we are about the new show when the new show begins to launch.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it comes out to.
Yep.
Got it.
Because if it's just like blonde people bonking on dragons, I don't know. Like it's been done. But if it really has a compelling story to tell, maybe. Or maybe we'll do it like once a month or something.
Yeah. Even if a new book comes out, which... we'll probably all be into new media by then.
Yeah.
So I have a confession to make.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday morning, after I got my chores done and got all the kids off to school and everything else, I sat down and smoked about half a joint.
Oh.
Yeah. It was Alaska Greenworks Galactic Jack. It was a pre-roll that I purchased last week. And once my wife told me I should not be waiting for her to enjoy the high with me because she couldn't enjoy it with me, so she'd just sit there watching and she would be bored, I went ahead and did it by myself. And I can tell you that half a joint was about a quarter joint too much. Because mm-hmm. I was blitzed. I took about a 3-hour semi-nap and then got up and enjoyed the rest of my day.
Wow. Welcome to retirement.
Would you describe it as peaceful, or would you describe it as terrifying, or would you just describe it as like, I just went to bed?
So I did have a little bit of the panic set in, only in that I smoked it. So there's the trail of smoke on my clothes and stuff like that. So I immediately went upstairs, got a shower, went downstairs, took all my clothes that I was wearing, threw them in the wash with some other stuff so that there's like minimal trace available. And it's not because like I'm afraid of being caught, because it's legal here. It's a matter of if my wife smells it, she'd be pissed off just because it was being smoked. She doesn't like the smell of smoke repulses her. So, I thought I knew ADD until I was laying on the couch with nothing but my brain going at about a million miles an hour. So much so that my watch actually went off and said, "Hey, you've got an abnormally high heart rate right now."
You know, I'm really curious what it would be like for me to smoke now, because the only time I ever smoked marijuana in my life, I was in high school.
Cannabis, Kent.
Cannabis.
We don't use the racially charged term marijuana on the show liberally.
Got it. All right. So anyway, the last time I had that substance, I was in high school, and the prevalent emotion that I experienced was paranoia. I was scared shitless the whole time.
And you couldn't play D&D.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just curious, like, now that it's legal, it's prevalent, it's whatever. I mean, I can't because I'm a federal employee.
Right.
It's still not allowed for me, but... if, let's say I wasn't, what would that, would I still be paranoid? And if so, what would I be paranoid about?
Right. Right.
I think it's about brain chemistry heightened by like how comfortable you feel doing it. So like I have friends for whom the weed, is that what we're calling it? The cool kids are calling it the weed. It makes them very productive and very like, oh, great. I'm going to focus in. I'm going to do what I got to do and I'm going to get going. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, I'm seeing color bars and I hate myself. And it's, so I don't do it. Like, and there, look, I live in California. It's not only legal, it's like
prevalent.
You can get every different version of THC, UFH, VHS. Like, there's every version of marijuana available to me, and I just don't have the time. Like, I don't go into wine either for this reason. I'm just like, give me a chocolate bar. We'll do the same thing. And it's just like too, my brain does not want to be unleashed.
Yeah. So like before this, I've got some edibles in my fridge that I'd partaken in, and those really just kind of made me tired. Like, but so you've got the sativa and you've got the indica, and apparently the indica is more of the laid back and the sativa is more of the let's go get some shit done. That's my experience with it thus far, because the edibles were indica and they just basically put me to sleep, gave me the best night's sleep I've had in decades. And the sativa was not the same. I think next time, because there will be a next time. Next time, I'll have a lighter dose, and I'll have my Zoom ready to record.
Oh, God. For jury.
For jury, or for this show, or just for whatever.
But in all seriousness, with the VHS, we know about CBD, right? Mm-hmm. And how if you do a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD to whatever the then you end up with like a different version, like maybe less paranoid, maybe just more relaxing, mm-hmm. whatever, I guess. I don't know. I'm the least qualified person to talk about this.
Yeah. And that's honestly, that's one of the main reasons I was even diving back into it, is because I do have chronic pain. So,
yeah.
And I can tell you that once I got up and got moving around, I was completely pain-free for the rest of the day. And this is after going to the dump and moving a lot of shit that morning. My back was killing me beforehand. So promising there, I just need to find that right balance where I'm not comatose for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Trapped in my own head with the body that just doesn't want to fucking move.
Famous last words. These goldfish don't seem to be working.
And that was actually the problem, because I got about 3 good hits off that joint. And the first one was like, oh, this just tastes like tobacco. What the hell? And the second one was like, all right, I don't know if I'm getting tingly in the brain for, you know, having the smoke, or if it's the actual pot. And the third one sealed it. And I was like, okay, I got to snuff this out while I'm still conscious enough to do it. So.
Well, all right. I'll save my further thoughts, because we have so many things to talk about, but I have, I don't smoke cigarettes, but I will say there is something very appealing about, like, you know, maybe sitting in the bathtub and smoking on a hurry. just like you feel very cool. And that's my only experience with smoking, because I just won't smoke cigarettes or anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I will say that's how you can overindulge, just being like, this seems aesthetically great. And then all of a sudden you're just like, I'm flying.
Literally, Nadia in the chat says, if you do it before RMP, you can write it off on taxes.
This is, I'm not denying that.
I feel like the federal government will like so complain. Well,
so here's the thing, and I've just learned this in John Oliver, like even pot industries, they have to do everything in cash because banks are federally insured, and that insurance can't extend to anything that's still a federal crime, which marijuana or cannabis smoking is. So they have to deal everything in cash. So every store around here, every dispensary has an ATM in the store. Mm-hmm. And then you add to that that they still have to claim their income on taxes, but they can't say where the income comes from. Like it's just junk.
That's not going to catch up with anybody.
I know. That's how they got Al Capone. So
yeah.
Kent, speaking of going out of your fucking gourd, end of the fiscal year. I know this is fun.
Dude, so I'm trying to take a work-related trip for some training,
mm-hmm.
Just a couple of weeks, and it's right about a week. The class starts about a week after October 1st, which is, anybody that's ever worked for the federal government knows, that's the time of year that the fiscal year changes. And September is basically a no-spend zone. And I got to pay for this damn class, yet I can't have access to the money until the 1st of October. But I have to have my travel plans all like paid for before the 1st of October. It sucks. I won't know until about 3 days prior to the class if I'm actually going to be able to attend.
Right. Mm.
That's what I've been upset about lately.
Yeah, September's the no-spend month until the last day of September. Then it's spend everything day.
Yeah, basically.
It's stupid.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, the military. They're just like us.
Yeah. They're like, we suddenly have $10,000 that needs to be spent. Spend it. But we don't need anything. I don't care. Spend it anyway.
Yeah. In Hawaii, we were one of the last places before the dateline, so all the money would flow over to us as people couldn't spend it. And we would be busy until right up to midnight spending thousands of dollars and stuff.
I'm so thrilled, you guys. I'm just so thrilled with my tax dollars are going to this purpose.
I mean, if it makes
what
you feel...
What would you
buy? Chairs, office equipment, computers, paper, office supplies. You couldn't buy anything, any capital assets. So no buildings or land or anything like that. Nothing major, no vehicles. But it's all... Yeah, it's all... You wait until that day before you buy, like, next year's paper and pens and
got it.
I mean, to be fair, there people have been vetting those lists for months on end, and it's like commander prioritized. So
yeah,
in theory,
nobody's
the money
buying is, like beer.
No,
correct. Yeah, that's no. That is not an authorized purchase.
You may be purchasing 14 pallets of paper, and you're only going to use two, but it'll still be here.
You also might get a comfortable chair, and I think that's important. Genuinely.
Right.
That is about the time when all the furniture and all the chairs and stuff like that get renewed. Hey, we got new keyboards for everybody. You're not going to get new computers? No, we couldn't buy those with that money, but we got new keyboards.
That's cool.
So, MoviePass, Kent, I gotta ask you about MoviePass.
Dude, it's dead. Finally, it is dead. I was holding on to this, my MoviePass card in my wallet, without having used it in probably a year and a half. When I signed up for this thing, it was super cheap and super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
$60 or something like that for a 1 year subscription. And I could go see a movie every single day, and it didn't matter what movie I saw. I got my money's worth out of this thing. But right after that, they started having massive money problems. I wonder why. And it's gone downhill ever since. And finally, it's dead. So I'm going to symbolically mourn them as I cut up my MoviePass card.
Wow. He actually showed preparation for this show by having scissors available. Don't cut yourself on the air, dude.
Yeah. Rest in peace, MoviePass.
It was a good idea, MoviePass.
It really was.
Yeah. It didn't pan out, but not all good ideas do.
The economics didn't work, but it was a good idea.
Now, Jenny, was MoviePass a way for you to experience creativity, or do you have other outlets for that?
No, I have other outlets for that.
Well, what are those?
Well, I will say that there weren't a lot of outlets for that for a while. I've been running, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. I've been running my own company for a while with a lot of help from someone here. And, I just was feeling very drained at the end of summer. And as you know, from people who've lived in Los Angeles or Southern California, summer never ends here, mm-mm, which many people think is a good thing. And I don't, cause I can't like enjoy it. Like it's works, but it's still hot and you have to like hide in the air conditioning. It just sucks. So I was just feeling like, oh, I'm just in such a grind. And I just like, I'm like a little poor and I'm staying put. And then I just woke up this morning and I was like, I can solve this problem. And so I published some stuff and I had some really like good ideas. And it was like, I just woke up and I was like, oh, that's right. You have to be creative for yourself, like just a little bit a day, or else you just lose your GD mind, even if you're working on stuff for work that you really like, which... Mm. I really like, you know, and I don't know. It was like a real breakthrough. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to devote the time to this and I'll feel better about everything else. So that we'll talk more about that. But it was just like, I published things. I did like, I just was like, no, for me, I'm going to do this for me. And it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kent, what do you do for your creativity?
Ritual Misery Podcast.
where did your creativity come out?
I don't know. We're waiting on that moment, I guess.
Still fanning the flames. And you're right, Jenny. If you don't do something creative for yourself, you don't have an outlet like that, then you can get bogged down in other people's art, especially when you're in a production industry. You're doing all the things other people need, but you're not taking care of yourself. So
yeah,
that is one reason Ritual Misery has not yet died.
Creative self-care. Yeah.
Although we're getting close to a quarter of the way, though, Kent. I mean, I'm calling it now. We got a max of 1,000 episodes, and we're almost at 250. So,
okay,
only 23 more years of this shit.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, man, I've been playing Anno 1800, and I've talked about this game before. But you play, Ubisoft Store this month. It was free, so I signed up for their little Uplay experience because it was free. Mm-hmm. And been playing Anno 1800. So this makes the second time I've been able to play this game, and I have yet to pay for it because that's how awesome I am at life. And it's a 4X game, explore, expand, extinguish, whatever. You build a port town, and you can build other port towns, and you have to build up. And it's just got a very unique mechanic to it. Having your primary resource is your people, and it divides the people into workers or farmers or artisans and... It's really fun. If you haven't played it yet, I recommend you go out and try it and let me know how you're going to feel on October 1st when the free trial is over.
Are you going to buy it?
No.
Okay.
Once it goes off the free side, it goes back into my, I'll save that for when it's 75% off and it's only $10. Because that's how I buy all my games. I don't spend more than 10 bucks on anything.
Right. Yep, that's me too. I wait for Steam sales.
Yeah, and they had a midweek sale this week, and I got Europa Universalis 4 for like $7.95 or something like that.
Easy for you to.
It's not.
we finally cracked Red Dead Redemption 2.
Ooh.
And I've been playing whenever I get like overwhelmed. This was the precedent to the creativity breakthrough. I play Skyrim for a while. And I go check on my Skyrim houses, and I just think like, why do I have 3 houses in Skyrim and none in the real world? And when I do that, then I'm very happy, and then I have a creative breakthrough because I've checked on my military wife, and I've checked on all my children, and I've farmed some wheat, all fake, and I've probably killed some people in the game, and then I feel better.
Maybe a dragon or two.
Yeah, they just show up. They're like pesty.
Kent, have you ever played Skyrim?
Very briefly. I maybe an hour's worth total. So yeah, very briefly.
You're just scratching the surface. How about Elder Scrolls in general? How versed are you in the series?
Yeah. What was probably 2 versions before?
Oblivion?
Skyrim. It wasn't that one.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, one of the older ones, I've got many hours in that one. Okay. Probably, I don't know, 100 or so hours. I don't know. I got pretty into one of them many, many, many years ago, probably like 15 years ago or something. Yeah, I don't dedicate that much time to games anymore, so it doesn't make sense for me to get involved in something that I'm not going to actually like devote some time to.
Which is why Ubisoft's free play for the month would have been great for you.
Yeah, but then I would know that I've got a time limit, and I would be trying to play it at every moment, and I wouldn't get anything else done, and it would not be good for me.
And now you know why Ritual Misery isn't caught up. All right, Jenny, what else have you been occupying your time with? Because you got another note in here, and I want to hear about it because it's something I haven't been into.
Okay, so 10 years too late, Matt and I have finally cracked Justified, the TV show that was on FX, I believe, and it's really damn good, and it's not good in like a there are moments when it ascends to the quality of like The Wire or trying to think of a different, like Deadwood or something like that. And then there are moments when it's like a little procedural. And then there are moments when it's just like really fun. And it is one of those shows that's not perfect, but it is absolutely one of the best written shows on TV. The dialogue is incredible. The character is incredible. The world that they're building starts like very contained and then just like spirals out. And it's all about Harlan County, Kentucky and Lexington, Kentucky and coal miners and U.S. Marshals. And I feel like you guys would get a lot out of it. And it's because it's like about like dumb procedural stuff and people bending the rules, but people also following the rules and a long history of the Marshal Service. And then they have all this great stuff, which is like basically there's like this one mountain in Harlan County and everybody lives in a holler.
That's where my family is from. My mom's family is from Harlan County.
It's, and they you always would talk love about it or hate it. I don't know.
Right.
But it's, but so like the thing that I've locked on, the nerdy thing that I've locked onto in Justified, aside from just the great acting and the great characters and, this Boyd Crowder character who's like, he talks so soft. I'm Boyd Crowder. And I'm just going to tell you something real soft, then I'm going to kill you. But the thing I've latched onto is the food. So, like, Justified is one of those shows that talks about food at great length. And I love them for it. I've learned about apple pie, which is like moonshine apple, and shoe fly pie. And obviously there was like basically a whole season that revolved around ribs. So good. So I think you guys would really like it. And it led us to me driving around in the car the other day. Was Matt was like, oh, I want Dunkin' Donuts. And we went to go get Dunkin' Donuts. And I came up with this idea. I was like, I wish there was a place with, like, they do all these pop-ups in LA that's like Saved by the Bell or the Peach Pit, where they have like different like cool places that are from TV. I was like, what if you just had one location and it was just a revolving series, like a good restaurant, not like the Hard Rock Cafe, and you did all the food from like The Sopranos for 6 months, and then you did Justified for 6 months, and you brought in all the old props, and you maybe had like appearances from showrunners for like dinners, and then there was like a big banquet hall up in the top, and you call the place TV Dinner.
Oh.
That's actually pretty good.
That's good.
So I like, by the way, I like that I said the words Red Dead Redemption and Jackie Hearn just showed up. So great.
That's how it works.
But I did we did play Red Dead Redemption 2 now that she showed up. I really do have to say that we just started it, so I'm really just learning how to shoot deer and go for long conversational rides. But we will get there. I loved Red Dead Redemption, but Red Dead Redemption 2, I have to like relearn all the skills, and everybody's very like in HD, and it's just like, okay, I gotta really have the time for this. So yeah, I'm loving it, but like I don't have enough time to play that game.
Yep. Yeah, I never played the first one because, well, I've never finished any of the other similar games like Skyrim. Skyrim, Grand Theft Auto, any of those very long story-based games with a lot of action, and then you go through the story. I've never finished any of them. So,
you have two discs. It's two discs in today's world. Full. There's a whole data disc. I had to delete every game except Skyrim off of the PS4 before I could play this game.
Wow,
that's insane.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check out Justified. There's 6 seasons of it on Prime, and that's going on my list for sure.
Oh, it's on Prime. I mean,
you may need to get it. Okay. Watch it with a therapist. I'm not. You're from there.
Like, something that I've been watching on Netflix is Ash versus the Evil Dead. Have you guys watched that?
I have not.
Matt really wants to.
Yeah, if you like anything of Evil Dead or Army of Darkness, this was made for you. It is so good. It is true to the character of Ash. It's true to the Evil Dead franchise, and it pushes boundaries. Like, it is, if you think there's fucked up things in Evil Dead, like, wait till you watch this show. It is wild. I'm watching it with my son Lucas, and we got a couple episodes into season two, and we had to take a break because it was so intense and fucked up. We were like, okay, we got to watch Parks and Rec or something like that just to cleanse it out. But it's pretty great.
You need a Parks and Rec chaser.
That's yes.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Another great show that I recommend.
So many shows I haven't even seen. Oh, I feel so sad about myself right now.
I really think you should watch the first couple episodes, like the first whole season of Justified. They're only 13 in a season. And the first one, they're very procedural. So like you just enjoy one and not have to worry about like getting caught up or whatever. And then so just watch the pilot. I think you'll really like it. And then eventually you watch another one. And then all of a sudden you're like, I can't stop watching.
Right.
Kent, now would be normally the time we'd cut over to the Stream Team movie draft minutes, but
yep. We don't have one.
We don't have one because it's over.
It's pretty much over. Technically, it's still going
right.
for like another 2 weeks or something, but it's done. We got second place.
Yep. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Yeah. That's how it works. I would like to bring in the list of movies for the winter draft, though, as they have just recently been revealed. And
also, they revealed the people who are going to be competing in the main.
Yes.
Yes.
And bottom of the list, although top in our hearts, is Miss Jenny Josephson herself.
They need a girl.
Right. It's diversity. It is the yep. They hit the quota.
Another white woman. Diversity. I love it. No, it's because I bitched and bitched and bitched not being on the summer draft because I love it so much. I love the movie draft. I'm terrible at it, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at the technology, and they finally took pity on me and let me back in.
We keep trying to get the winner of our draft to be automatically up leveled that's into theirs.
That's a good idea.
Brian blew me off, and I haven't talked to Justin about it because.
Oh well, I will up level that idea as part of the junior varsity team here. I'll represent
Brian. I think on two or three occasions, Brian has said, "Oh wow, that's a wonderful idea. Yes, let's do this."
Yeah. Well, no, he would say, "Yes, that sounds great. I need to talk to Justin."
Yeah. Something like that.
Do you have the cricket sound effect ready? Hit it.
Every time it's come up, he's heard about it for the first time and thinks it's a wonderful idea.
Yes. Okay, so we have, give me a thumbs up, thumbs down if you think this movie is going to do well in the draft. Not if it's going to do well in the box office, if it's going to do well in the draft.
Well, that's the same thing, right?
No.
You mean if it's going to be a good movie or not?
No.
Or
no. Because oftentimes movies do really well in the draft that don't do well at all in the box office. Y'all scratching your heads.
Oh, you mean track. Like who's what movie is going to get bid on the most?
Right.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Independent of its performance in real life.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go out on a fucking limb and say Star Wars.
Well, I was going to say Star Wars is. Star Wars is kind of the key, right? It's going to hit 100 and it's going to get counted down on percentages.
Yeah.
I don't... maybe. I think that time is gone. I don't know the name is going to bid 100 anymore.
Mm.
Or, until Jenny bids 100.
Like, I don't know if I'm going to. Like, I have 2 to 5 strategies in place at any given time. But, yeah. Like, it always depends on where they show up, right? So, like, if Star Wars shows up first, it's gonna go bananas.
Right.
If it shows up
20th
last,
yeah,
then you have to win it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And that's where we ended up last season on our draft with Avengers. It was like the out of 30 movies, it was like the 25th movie or something to come out. So it went for like relatively cheap.
A pittance.
Yeah.
Okay, so Joker.
Maybe it's got a lot of buzz. It's probably, yeah, there's gonna be a lot of bids, I think, on that.
The Current War,
never heard of
don't know it.
Jexy,
nope.
Adam's Family,
That's gonna go cheap, I bet.
Yeah.
Gemini Man.
Mm. Is this more space or is this paranoid? No,
Gemini. That's the Will Smith movie.
Oh, where, right. That like will be a solid $100 million.
Where he has to kill himself.
Yeah. $100 million.
Where his other self, I should say. Yeah. Anyway. Parasite.
Never heard of it.
It'll go cheap. It'll be one of those cheap buys that gets you $40 million.
Maleficent, Mistress of Evil.
People will want that one. That would be a classic Scott Johnson pick.
This is one of the few movies that has me excited because Maleficent was amazing. It was such a good movie.
I should watch it. I've never seen it.
Angelina Jolie is Maleficent. And, oh my gosh. She just knocked. And this one's got, help me out, Kent. Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer playing the queen. And they're directly opposed to each other. So it's going to be Angelina Jolie versus Michelle Pfeiffer.
Interesting.
That dynamic is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Zombieland, Double Tap.
I'm personally excited about this movie. I'm not sure how much the general audience is, though. It's probably going to be one of those
$10 movie. $10 movie.
Yeah.
Someone building a slate will like this movie.
Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, Jojo Rabbit? Yeah. I don't know if anyone's going to go see it, but like...
Right. Never heard of it.
This is Taika Waititi's take on Hitler, basically. There's this little kid in Germany whose imaginary friend is Hitler. And
it's already winning awards, which doesn't necessarily translate to, like, you know... Right.
Box office. Yeah.
I think it's a unique story, and it's in Taika Waititi's wonderful. So I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome movie. I don't see it being a moneymaker though.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator, Dark Fate. Oh, sorry. Terminator, Dark Fate.
Dark Fate.
Yeah. Everybody's going to buy a ticket to this one, so it's probably going to be popular in the draft.
Someone new is going to say, "I'll be back."
Doctor Sleep.
Yes. This is a very Stephen King sentimental crowd. Somebody will want this movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because isn't that the following to The Shining?
Yeah. Yes. And what they're doing with it is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot this is coming out this soon. Last Christmas, coming out November 8th.
I don't know. Nope.
Playing with Fire.
Nope.
How about the latest Charlie's Angels reboot?
Oh, I'm sorry. I blanked out.
Yeah, didn't... okay. Yep.
Ford v. Ferrari.
I want to see that movie.
This is a must-watch Netflix documentary for me.
But it's not a doc. It's a...
Right.
Yeah.
This is something that I want to see, but I don't. I mean, right. There's a lot of star power in the movie, but
I didn't know this was going to get a theatrical release until I saw it on this list. I thought it was going to be like a Netflix movie or Apple TV Plus or whatever.
I wish it was a Netflix movie. I would have.
21 Bridges.
No input.
Hmm. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh.
Coming out November 22nd. That's Thanksgiving weekend.
People will go see that movie. I couldn't even get through the trailer without crying.
This is one that I want to watch as well. Like this makes number 3 on the list that I actually care about. Frozen 2.
Yeah, that's...
That's the big competitor to Star Wars.
Yeah, that's all the money.
Actually, that might go for $100.
Ooh.
The question is not will Star Wars go for $100, but will Frozen 2?
And there's a full month between them, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frozen 2 is actually probably financially the better bet.
I can't
believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, it's probably the more the more of a guarantee of return.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars is either going to be huge or it's going to be flat. And at this point in the saga, it could be either way.
Do you mean movie quality, or do you mean just in box office returns?
Well, box office returns is in it's going to be either a $300 million movie or it's going to be a $1.3 billion movie.
And it's probably going to be a two-movie slate, honestly. If it comes up early, it's a two-movie slate. So it'll be Frozen plus one other plus The Conjuring or something, you know.
All right. Knives Out.
I'm excited for this movie. This movie will make $65 million. So I think it's a good, solid, if you're putting together like the classic Coverville 5 movie slate.
Knives Out. Knives Out.
Sure. Yeah.
Never heard of it. Queen and Slim.
This one
I've never.
This is like Thelma and Louise, but a couple, and they're black. And let me tell you something, like, nobody else is going to see movies these days unless they're the Avengers. So this will make $45, $50, $60 million.
How about Playmobil, the movie?
What?
Or is that Playmobil? Playmobil?
Yeah, okay. I was like, Playmobil games, the movie? Like.
So Lego capitalized. I don't think Playmobil has I don't think they have the power that Lego has.
Is it for little bitty kitties?
Probably. I don't know.
All right. How about Black Christmas?
Is that a horror movie?
Is it a horror movie or is it like?
I don't know.
Okay. This is important. Either way, though, maybe $35 million. I don't know.
Right. How about Jumanji, The Next Level?
That trailer looked so good. Have you seen that trailer?
I have not, but my kids love Jumanji. They love both of them, so.
It's hilarious.
This will probably be like the comedy of the season.
Yeah. Action comedy. It's like one of the few franchises doing action comedy right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't you? We've gone almost robot. So if you want to do a little skidoodle skedaddle or whatever else,
I'll step out and come back.
How about Bombshell?
Don't know it.
Nope. Cats the movie. This has received all the commotion.
All the hate. The hate.
There we go. That's better.
But yet, that being said, Cats has received all the hate. But if you asked me, I could sing Cats from start to finish and tell you all my emotional stories about going to see Cats. And so, I mean, I know I shouldn't go see it, but I might.
Mm.
I don't feel like musicals do real great in the box office.
Unless they're great.
Yeah.
It's got to be phenomenal.
Like Chicago.
Or like Moulin Rouge or something.
How about Little Women?
Start to finish.
Little Women.
Just put me on my misery.
Man. Spies in Disguise.
I am not familiar with that one.
The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle.
Who's in it?
Spoken like true movie draft pros.
All right. So, and finally, Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys
will
do well.
Yeah, that's going to do well. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, again, is another movie I care about seeing. So, all right, and that wraps up our movie draft 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it was.
75 minutes.
It's time to do this.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's games.
Play with him.
All right, this game is called Norm!
Norm!
As you might guess, it is a Cheers quiz. So the sitcom Cheers, Jenny, I think you may be familiar with this.
The horrible truth is I've only watched one season plus 4 episodes, but yeah, go for it.
Oh, wow, that's right. Okay, yeah, so Jenny, the host of Let's Talk About Cheers...
Yes.
Okay.
he just wanted to make sure he had the right Jenny.
Right, yeah. There's so many Jennies. Okay, so we're going to start with you, Jenny. There's 10 questions. We're going to alternate between the two of you, starting with you, Jenny. What position did Sam Malone play for the Boston Red Sox?
He was a pitcher.
Very good. He was a relief pitcher for 4 years, I think. All right, Amos.
No, seriously, you asked for my question because that's probably the only one I'm going to get right.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at these like for a diehard Cheers fan. I think most of these are pretty easy, but for a casual, actually, where would you put yourself, Amos? Casual, haven't seen it in 30 years.
I'd say casual. I've probably watched. It was 10 seasons or 6 seasons, something like that.
11.
Okay, yeah, I've probably watched maybe a third of the episodes.
Okay, all right. So you might do okay in this. All right. What was Coach's real name?
No. Marty.
Oh. Ernie Pantuso.
That was close.
All right, Jenny, I know you're going to get this one correct. What's the name of the restaurant above Cheers?
They just talked about it in this episode that we just watched, Melville's.
Of course, Melville's, the famous seafood restaurant. Amos, what is the name of Norm's wife? The oft discussed and never seen.
Yeah. She's always calling him at the bar.
Yeah.
I want to say it starts with the S, like Cheryl or Sandy or something stupid like that.
Okay.
Very close.
Her name is Vera.
Damn it.
All right, Jenny. What's the name of the lovable con man that regularly swindles Cheers regulars out of their money?
Oh my God, it's Harry the Hat. This is unfair.
Yes, played by the one and only Harry Anderson. I loved him in that role. It was so good.
Okay. Night Court.
Does that make Night Court a spinoff?
No, it was like the first time you saw Harry Anderson just shine.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
you certainly didn't see him shine in Night Court.
No, but it was the first time, and it opened him up to leading roles. He was so good. He was so dynamic as Harry the Hat.
Hmm. Yeah, he probably got his role in Night Court because of Cheers.
Yeah, for sure.
Gotcha. Night Court is still my wake-up ringtone.
Oh, really?
Aww, yeah. They have a great theme song.
Yep.
They really do.
Got that sax. You got like a little bass line, the doo-doo-doo. Yep. And then when the sax comes in, so it gives you like this little warning that it's coming because you can hear the bass. It kind of starts to wake you up. But then once that sax hits, everyone in the room is awake. So you have like a 5-second delay. Yeah.
All right, Amos. Who performed the show's theme song, Where Everybody Knows Your Name? I'm sorry, Amos.
This is hard. I wouldn't know this.
Boston.
Gary Portnoy. A lot of people thought that it was Woody Harrelson's voice, to include me when I was a kid. I was like, oh, that's totally Woody singing that.
Hmm.
It's not.
Do you want to know a secret about the upcoming season of Let's Talk About Cheers?
Yes.
Love.
We have a parody version of that song written by Movie League Mike. And I sing it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yep. Can't wait.
Yep, that's going to come out as soon as it's edited.
That is freaking awesome. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
Jenny, okay. Your next question, since you're only a season and some change into the show, you probably won't get this one. What was Rebecca's nickname in college?
I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Amos, do you have any guesses on what that might be? For no credit?
Slumpy.
Yeah, no. It's Backseat Becky.
Aww. More slut shaming on Cheers.
Right, yeah. Amos, what year did Cheers first air?
84.
So close. 1982.
Oh.
All right, Jenny, I'm actually curious to know if you are going to get this one. What actor was the character Frasier originally written for?
Ooh.
Oh.
But the dude that played him was so perfect.
I don't know.
John Lithgow.
Oh, I actually know that guy.
I can totally see that.
I know.
Wait, Jenny, you know John Lithgow and he hasn't been on RME? What is going on here?
My dad knows John Lithgow.
Oh, okay. So,
and one time I was at a movie screening and John Lithgow was there and I was like, spent 10 whole minutes be like, I'm Larry Josephson's daughter. And like, I didn't, because I was dressed like a chump.
I was actually looking through the website for your dad's, his radio organization.
Yeah, the Radio Foundation. Yeah.
Yes. And there was a thing in there about celebrities reading the phone book.
Yes. It was a really good idea. It was his last sort of like creative idea before he kind of got really ill and was focused on his health. But it's really funny.
It is so good. John Lithgow is one of the celebrities reading the phone. And I love it. I would listen to hours of that.
I know. It's a brilliant idea. My dad would have these brilliant ideas. And if he'd been 10 years younger, it would have been on public radio.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. All right, Amos, your final question. What was Frasier and Lilith's son Frederick's first word?
Sam.
Oh, my God. You're so close. His first word, they were hoping it would be mama, or at least Lilith was hoping it would be mama. Mm-hmm. But no, they had the baby in Cheers when a certain person walked in the door and his first word was Norm.
Of course.
Oh,
that's awesome. I just want to say Matt would have smoked this quiz and it's a good thing he wasn't on it.
That would have been great. Jenny, you won this quiz with a score of 3-0.
Yay!
All right. Amos, what do we got next?
Now is the time in which we talk to Jenny about all the new shit happening at Infinite Gain Productions and with Jenny in general.
Oh, this is so nice. What do you want to know?
All the stuff. I happen to have an inside line that the new season of Let's Talk About Cheers is actually in work.
Yeah, and it's out. It came out today. Yeah.
Well, there you go. See, this is where I'm at.
Interim episode came out today.
I also happen to know that there are new episodes of Tell It Anyway in processing.
And do you want to know why he knows?
Kent, do you want to know why I know?
Are you producing it perhaps?
I'm editing it.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, as of this moment, look at me. If you're listening, listen to the sound of my voice. As of now, you can blame me, Anthony Lemos, a.k.a. Amos, for the delays and Tell It Anyway.
Finally, somebody else.
I know how to please a boss.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, so this was part of the creativity thing, which was like, look, it's really hard to run a company. We know. And it's, you really do have to spend a lot of your time really focused on your clients. And we have such wonderful clients, I have to say. So like, I started this company, I actually started it in 2015 when I was working for Tom. And then I went into Marketplace to sort of like level up skills wise. And then I, left Marketplace because I really sensed that there was a time that I was going to need more flexibility to be going to the East Coast to deal with my dad, who is not doing so well. And so I left Marketplace and I became a freelance producer. And I did most of my own editing for a whole year for a bunch of like women-centric shows, and I really loved it. And then I started like realizing like I was going to be just locked in a chair forever and not able to go and do things or generate new work. I was just editing. So I branched out and I got me some help.
Mm.
And my first helper was a guy named Rich Stroffolino, and otherwise known as Rich from Lovely Cleveland. And previous guest on the show. And he was fantastic and he helped out, and he's very patient guy. And he has helped out with some of my clients, who like he's just good with clients. Like, he's really good with them.
He's very patient. Very patient.
You know who's here again? So funny, Lucy's here. Hold on. One of my Infinite Gain colleagues is here again.
This is what happened last time you were on the show. You got Lucy showed up in the middle of recording,
And I got very interrupty because I was confused. I'll wave at her. You guys, I'll wave at her just so you can see the Infinite Gain never stops working. Hi, Lucy. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You're going to be on the internet. Hold on. You guys, right now we're talking about Infinite Gain Productions and Infinite Gain Productions gears. Walking in the door magically. You guys, look. Hi, how are you?
You're not recording. Yes, thank you.
No, I'm really recording an episode right now, but we're actually talking about the company, so it makes perfect sense. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll talk. Okay. Bye. You guys, that was so much fun. But that's Lucy Kopp, and she is one of the people that helps out on the show. And she does this amazing, I'm going to plug her show since she just showed up on the podcast. She does a show about people getting out of prison called Life on the Outside that you should go check out because it's really good. And she's really good at it and really dedicated to it. And it is now playing. The podcast itself is playing inside the California penal system. It's like on prison radio. Which is a pretty big deal. That's anyway, awesome. So as you can see, Infinite Gain Studios is a collection of people. I don't have the money to hire full-time employees, although one of them who I'd like to hire is sitting right to my camera left. So I try to do a thing where I just give people podcasts that they work on. And so I've done that really successfully with Rich. Lucy is my sort of like LA recordist, and she has like set podcasts, which gives me an opportunity to like not get stuck doing the same thing all the time, which I'm bad at, but to go on and level up and do other things. And so I have some cool jobs that I really like. I was sitting in a conference room yesterday at a big company devising a podcast strategy and like writing on a whiteboard wall, like from start to finish, how you develop and plan and tape and do production workflow and publish and market a podcast, like all along this big wall, and then all the really fun stuff that they could do after it. And I was like, I fucking love this. Like, I love this. And, you know, obviously both Anthony and I work on Talking Feds. And that is like a full-time job.
That's a full-time job with two part-time people fulfilling that full-time job.
Yeah. And, our host, Harry Littman, is a goddamn genius. Like, he's so smart. He's so smart. And his brain moves faster than almost anyone else's brain I've ever met. And, you know, I'll have an inbox that's like, you know how you have 50 emails in Gmail, like 49 of them will be from Harry and one's from my mom. So when that happens, I call it Inbox Harry.
And here's the thing about that is I will check my inbox and have 10 messages from Harry going, oh shit, that's a lot of messages. And I'll go through them and I'll tell Jenny, okay, caught up on the Harry emails. When do you want to talk? And then she'll call me and she'll tell me about the other 40 that she received. It's like, holy, whoa. Because somewhere along the process, he just forgets to courtesy copy me on the emails. And
it just goes so out of hand.
Yeah, he's just so quick with all the ideas. And when he's on a tear, he's on a tear. It's insane.
Yeah. But he's really smart. And he's one thing that I love about working with people, and especially when it's the right kind of people, is there's a certain kind of person that just excels at big picture thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, let's go get... Lawrence Tribe, and he'll talk about the Constitution with another constitutional scholar, Erwin Chemerinsky. And I'm like, I would never have thought of that. Oh, yeah, let's get a congressman, too. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that
happens. And it all happens. And now, some of that is like, these guys all went to Harvard, and so, but some of it is just like, yeah, they all work together in the government, and they all worked really hard, and you can see how hard they work and what all hours they work. And it's just like really a fascinating experience. And we've got some really good shows coming up that we're going on the road to San Francisco and to Austin, Texas, all next week. So this is the last time I'm going to be sitting in front of this desk for a while. But it's been a really interesting experience. And my only hope is I'd like Anthony to really take over more of it so that I can do anything else. but yeah, so that was at the point at which like the 50th email or like the second year of like doing invoices and budgets and managing people and all this stuff that I was like, am I ever going to get back to my own podcasts and ever? And so I was like, well, so one thing that made me do it was Brian Ibbett, who is basically like my fairy godfather of podcasting, right? Like Brian Ibbett is quietly one of the actual greatest supporters of my career, such as it is, Tom Merritt being numero uno for so many of us. But Brian just like he just helps out. And so he asked me the season when Nicole Spagnuolo couldn't do America's Next Top Podcaster, he asked me to be a judge. And I was like, this is great, but I feel terrible because I'm not currently putting out any of my own podcasts. I'm certainly producing a lot and I feel confident that I know exactly what to tell these contestants. But I kind of feel like I'm sitting there with Justin and Scott and feel a little fraudy. that has been lingering in my mind, especially since the Tell It Anyway that is coming out features Justin and Molly Wood. Mm. So that has got me thinking. And so, yeah, that's sort of like, that's a mix of where the burst of podcast commitment came from. So, yeah. Anyway, also I redid the Patreon. So patreon.com/JENNIEJ. Very low levels. And I switched it to monthly, so there's no more of this episode stuff. It's like if you like one show, you can give $1. If you like three shows, you can give $10, whatever. Like, and then I made a $500 level for kicks.
And we didn't pimp our Patreon this time, and that's probably a good thing because I'd rather spend the time on Jenny's. If you want to support active production of shows, and it's not even just the money. Like, the money is nice, but it shows that there are people that really cherish what you're doing, and it's that unspoken appreciation that can really fire someone up and get them to push something out and try new areas and venture out and do new things. The money, like for me and Kent, the money helps us go to South By. That's literally what it does. It buys some equipment once in a while, it replaces a broken whatever. But really what it's doing is helping us go to South By and justify to our significant others that it's not just money we're throwing away. But not only that, it's the patrons. The number of patrons we have is probably the most important aspect of it. Because not only can you turn that into, hey, we've got this many people, but it's also when you're not feeling like podcasting, you don't feel like jumping on here in Ritual Misery and doing whatever, you look at that patron count and you're like, you know what? There are 41 people that actually cherish the shit I'm doing each month. I'm going to go ahead and do this because there's 40 whatever people counting on me to give them something to listen to and occupy their time and maybe make them laugh a little bit. So cruise on over to patreon.com/JennyJ, JENNIEJ, and throw a buck. I mean, it's worth that. If you give a fuck, throw a buck and make it happen.
I'm worth $1.
Hell yeah. Also, check out what Jenny's got going on at infinitegain.co and letstalkaboutcheers.com.
Exactly.
And I put up something super cool for all the patrons that stayed, even then I wasn't charging them money and they could have gone away. If you go to infinitegain.co, you can see a thing that says the infinite wall. And I actually made a graphical image of all of the current $1 supporters with their names in different fonts. And if you go there, you'll actually see Ritual Misery in the corner because Ritual Misery is one of my supporters, which is so nice.
And it didn't show up, of course. There it is.
Oh, well, that's there okay. There it is. But like these are all the people and who have supported, and I was looking at like the donations and like, you know, these people here have been here for since the beginning. Like they are the hardcore, and I just think about that, and I'm like, oh, we're such dicks. Like, hell with all the family problems and everything. Like we gotta get back to this. So anyway, thank you to my patrons who stuck with me. I didn't charge you anything for a long time, but that's about to change.
That's fantastic.
For Kent and for me, I can honestly say that we are very happy to support what you're doing and moving on with the programs that you have because we enjoy them.
Definitely.
Well, I enjoy this show.
And by the way, the whole reason that Jenny and I are kind of like working together now, the reason we're working together on all these projects is because I originally reached out to her and asked her if she needed some help editing Tell It Anyway, because I was going through back episodes like I could remaster these a little bit better. And I never got a chance to do that because she started throwing work my way.
Yeah. I was like, well, if you're going to do that, let me get you this.
And that led to an internship, and that's now led to, I guess it'd be a verbal contract, but whatever.
Yeah, it's like a collective. I like to think of it as a collective where I throw work to people. And you know, like hopefully more work to people as the work keeps coming.
Badweave, thank you very much for the subscription. Kent, why don't you tell people where we're at with the New Year's Eve Streamathon, because that's the thing that we do each year. And I will just say, I will start it all. I'll tell people about it.
Okay. Go.
This last weekend I went to the Alaskan Walk for, basically, it's a walk out of darkness is what they call it, but it's the 10th annual suicide awareness walk here in Anchorage. And I went down there with the Remedy Alpine folks, took some pictures, and you can see some of those on their Twitter. While I was there, I talked to several people, and you know, we try to do three things with the Streamathon. One, provide a platform for people to jump into and experience new shows and new things and try new things. We had hot beverages on there doing the little iron on jewel, little decal things that, you know, that she does. And or I guess they're not decals. They're like little pins or whatever.
Yeah, pearlers, I think.
Pearlers. Yeah. So she spent an hour doing that and it was awesome. We had, Bonnie come on and she did a workout. We've had, we got Christy Cates doing her first live music. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Christy Cates' first live music stream was on the Streamathon. Have a Drink's first video podcast was on the Streamathon. So many firsts on the Streamathon.
Yep. We've built relationships with all these shows and these people, and it's been great. That's just one aspect of it. Another aspect is we raise money for a charity. And most, usually it's been, Extra Life, which helps with children's hospitals and things like that, which is something near and dear to the Rich Misery Heart. And we really enjoy doing that. We've done other charities and other causes in the past, but we're going to stick with Extra Life because it's basically just the easiest. And we kind of like really like where the money goes. The third thing is, and this is the one that's most important to me above all the others, is that we provide a place on New Year's Eve that no one has to spend New Year's Eve alone. And part of that is being supportive of the people in the chat room, having a live chat. It is a requirement if you're streaming during the Streamathon that you are present in chat. Mm-hmm. That's like the one requirement we freaking have. You have to be present in chat because we don't want anyone to have to spend New Year's Eve alone. And oh yeah, Big Voice Jay's first show is on the Streamathon as well. See all these things. To that end, I'm in talks right now with two different organizations here in Anchorage. We may actually have some sponsorship opportunities for this year's Streamathon.
Excellent.
So looking forward to that. We may actually have maybe, I'm hoping for some donation matching is really what I'd like to get out of them.
That would be awesome.
Seeing as how Matt and I spend New Year's Eve watching Twilight Zone, and we used to watch Anderson Cooper, but now that Kathy Griffin's on, we don't do it anymore. It's been banned. We can commit to some version of storytelling or comedy or something for New Year's. Like if you'll have us.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely. That would be amazing.
Believe me, that's a cause we believe in a lot.
New Year's Eve Streamathon is just over 3 months from now. So it's coming up pretty quick. yolo420.com/2019streamathon is where you go to sign up if you want to be a streamer or if you want to help out in some other way with like graphics or promotion or other you know, whatever. Your creativity is your limit with the ways that you can help out with Streamathon. Once again, that's yolo420.com/2019streamathon. We're really getting this planning stage ramped up. I cannot wait to see who all is wanting to stream because throughout the year, I've had so many people say, hey, write me down for being on the Streamathon this year. Mm. I'm like, oh, fuck yes, let's do that.
Yep.
And then I write their name down and I don't have a consolidated list until you sign up for it at yolo420.com/2019streamathon. That's where I really keep the roster.
Yep.
So get in there. If you told me that you want to do it, I still need you to go there so that it's all in one place.
And by the way, I've got a soft yes from Scott and Tom on doing a Current Geek for the Streamathon since it is during their normal time this year. So
if we can
finagle that, that'd be amazing. I need to reach out to Brian Ibbett to see if he would be willing to do it another Coverville like he did a couple years ago.
Yep.
So, yep. It could be the best Streamathon ever. And again, we are raising money for Extra Life, which gives money to Children's Miracle Network hospitals, providing help for children who are terminally ill or just long-term ill and their families, and allowing them to spend some much-needed time together before they either get better and move on with their life or they pass and the rest of their family needs to move on with their life. So, of course, again, no one should have to spend New Year's Eve alone. So Kent and I will guaranteed we will be in the chat room as much as our family life allows. Often we show up on other people's shows just randomly because fuck it. So this is the official kickoff of the 2019 Streamathon, or as I like to say, the 2020 Streamathon, since we're welcoming 2020, but you know, Kent wins this one because he created the link first. The 2019 Streamathon, and it's that time of year, folks. Let's go out and do some good for some other people.
Amen. Hell yes.
All right, Jenny, we have one last thing to do before we close you out of here. I know you were you're thinking you might be out of here already, but we have one last thing, and this is a voicemail we received because a couple episodes ago, Kent and I did a little shtick for our main topic, and it just came off the cuff, and it just happened. Kent actually found his improv prowess and used all of it. I guarantee it's not going to happen for another 5 years. And we did kind of a visual skit, if you will, that played kind of poorly, intentionally poorly for the audio listeners. If you're on video, you kind of understood what was happening, but if you were not, it might have given you kind of a response like this.
You're actually doing. That's
not how that's supposed to work.
I'm really hoping that my podcast player was fucking up left and right and totally cut the fuck out of episode, what was it? Not 220. The main topic, the one where you actually did game, your newest drop. I think that's 222. Anyway, for some reason, like, all of the main topic was cut to shreds. It made no sense whatsoever. Please tell me that was my player and not your actual doing. Because if that was your actual doing, holy fuck, motherfucker, god damn you piece of shit, fuck nut. Gonna shove my foot right up your goddamn ass. Love you, man. Bye.
Oh, man.
Oh, Squid. Oh.
I thought I was cussing too much.
I re-listened to that segment just the other day, and I know exactly where he's coming from. Because, yeah, I could see if you weren't in on the bit, that would be quite frustrating to sit through. Oh, man.
No, it was a lot of fun to do. It's a lot of fun to hear the reactions of. So, thanks, Squid. Thanks for sending us the voicemail. All right, Jenny, where can people find more about you, the things you do, and all the things you're involved in?
All right. So the simplest way is always on Twitter, JENNIEJ23, where musings, thoughts, links, stuff like that. If you want to go and see what Anthony and I have been up to, along with Rich and a couple of other really awesome people, infinitegain.co. And, whoa, what the hell? I'll plug that Patreon again. Patreon.com/JENNIEJ.
Right. Kent, how about you?
Oh, yeah. RM_DelNoche on Twitter, where pretty much everything, where all of my things converge. If you want to find me on Untappd, where I rated the beer in the pre-show, I am Del Noche over there. So add me as a friend and check out my reviews. Yeah, that's pretty much it. What about you, Amos?
Well, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Sussien, who's been doing some RMP family Sims 4 play the last couple weeks. And we have a whole family over there with random people pregnant. So you should probably go check that out. What channel is that, Kent? Is it Sussien? S-A-S-C-I-E-N-N-E?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
I win the internet. I'm Amos at Ethan Kane, E-T-H-A-N-C-A-I-N-E on Twitter. And that's pretty much the only place you can really find me reliably. I've been on Facebook more lately, but I've been muting a whole shitload of people. So I guess that helps. I got to reinforce my bubble. You can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery and join the conversation at Discord, bit.ly/RMPDiscord.
I do want to go back to something that I should have said earlier. Next week's guest is the one and only Tay Allen.
Oh, yes. If you thought this conversation was awkward, you don't know.
But yeah, so check us out. We are live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific on diamondclub.tv and twitch.tv/ritualmisery.
Thank you so much to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music. And thank you, listeners and viewers. For Kent, for me, for you, and for Jenny, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
There it is. No, flip one, Jenny.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
RITUALMISCOY